This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
7:13, we talked with the National Weather Service earlier, in case you missed it, and they're saying that from now until Lundi Gras, delightful weather, just perfect. And then Lundi Gras, Mardi Gras, maybe a chance for rain. It all depends on the timing of it. Could be, ideally, it would work where it rains like Camelot, the night of Lundi Gras and then overnight, and then Mardi Gras is fine, but they'll have to watch it. Naturally, we'll watch it. And either way, they're saying it's not going to be a washout as it stands now, maybe a line of showers or something like that. So as long as it's not a steady all-day rain like it was on Sunday, I think we'll be okay. We're going to talk about the governor's proposed budget here, and we're going to look at both sides of it. We'll begin with Daniel Erspammer, CEO of the Pelican Institute. Then we'll talk with Jan Moeller, Executive Director of InvestLoan Louisiana. I'm sure they have different views on this. And I want to mention, too, that in the next hour, we're going to go to the Vatican, go to Rome, and get an update on Pope Francis's condition, who they say is doing a little bit better. And I think, I don't know that you can jinx a pope or Grigri a pope, but I think he's going to make a full comeback because I think he's got more work to do. With that, we welcome in Daniel Erspammer. How you doing, Daniel?
Hey, good morning, Tommy. Doing great. How are you?
I'm okay, sir. Tell me about, first of all, when it comes to a budget, how do you know how much we have to spend, or how much does the governor know?
Well, they start with, there's a body called the Revenue Estimating Conference. And that group of economists and legislative leadership decide, they vote on a projection. So they start with a projection, in this case, that was made in December. They will update that in a few months, but the executive budget starts with an update from December.
And the things that are going on in Washington, does that have anything to do with the budget for next year, or do we know yet?
Well, I don't think we know yet. So certainly, you know, the Louisiana budget is quite heavily, 20-some-odd billion of federal funds in the governor's executive budget. So certainly some of those, you know, there are some question marks about where or what will happen with all in D.C. But for the most part, they present a budget based on the information that they have. And then you go from there.
That's kind of a mixed bag, right? Because we all want the deficit, or the debt, at least, the deficit year-to-year, debt cumulative, we all want that reduced. But yet, we also want, depend in Louisiana, I guess it I should say, on that $20 billion. So how do you navigate that, Daniel? That's a tough road, huh?
It's a really tough road. You know, one of the things we've been calling for over the last several years is more transparency over the receipt of federal funds and an understanding of what the state commits to by accepting the funds. And so there'll be more work to do on that. But if we have more transparency over that, it'll make it easier anyway. It's still not easy, but easier to navigate the changing landscape in Washington.
So what does that $20 billion go for now? Do you know? I'm just curious. The $20 billion that we get from the feds.
You know, a big chunk of it goes to Medicaid. The biggest chunk certainly goes into healthcare in general. Looking at their breakdown, it's about $18 billion of that $22 billion goes into healthcare. There's some into transportation and infrastructure, certainly some into K-12 education, and then a chunk into our safety net system, which is largely housed right now in the Department of Children and Family Services.
So what is the governor looking to do with the budget that he proposed, and what does the Pelican Institute think of it?
Yeah, so the governor has proposed largely what they call a standstill budget. So if you break down the numbers, it actually leads to a proposed $1 billion decrease year over year in total state funds, excluding the federal government funds. It gets a little complicated, but with what they call carry forwards from previous budget cycles, it goes from about $23 billion in the current fiscal year of state funds only to $22 billion. Again, rounding, obviously, but so you know it represents some fiscal responsibility. We believe there's still more to be done to constrain recurring spending so that funds free up to invest in roads and bridges and to continue to lower the tax rates, which, of course, will call for continued work on over the next couple of years.
What does that look like, restrain recurring spending?
Yeah, so if you look at the historical spending numbers, the total budget has grown substantially, even since as recently as 2021. It's grown about $10 billion overall. Now, a big chunk of that is federal money. If you look even longer term, if you go back over the last 20 years, you know, the state budget was just under $20 billion, and now we're talking at just under $50 billion. So what we want to look at there is what is recurring spending. What are the programs and agencies and staffing that we budget for and spend year after year? The more we can constrain that, the better off we can be in terms of tax relief, in terms of one-time expenditures like roads and bridges. Of course, we know the state is desperately in need of that. What we're looking for over time, and this is a very good start to it, is where can we find streamlining? Where can we find efficiencies? Where are programs that may or may not be necessary in the current environment? And how do we make sure we've got the most efficient, effective government the taxpayers are willing to pay for?
Let's talk about that when we come back. If you have anything specifically that you're addressing, we're talking with Daniel Erspammer, CEO of the Pelican Institute, about Governor Landry laying out his budget, which is, for the most part, neutral, Daniel. No more spending?
That's right.
Okay, good. And we'll pick it up there when we come back.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey's State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry and get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
720 traffic now, WWL. 7:24 and a half. Tommy Tucker, WWL. Quickly back to Daniel Erspammer, CEO of the Pelican Institute, talking about Governor Landry's budget that he laid out for the next fiscal year. Daniel, when it comes to everybody's concern with government waste, and rightfully so, and overspending, and you know, if you spend money here, you either could have spent it there, or maybe you didn't need to collect it in the first place. What are some of the things the Pelican Institute's looking at?
Yeah, you know, we're digging in pretty deep to the budget over the last few years. There's a few things just off the top. One is we're not very good as a state at projecting Medicaid expenses. And so You know, as we look for the last few years, we've over budgeted by several hundred million dollars, the Medicaid program. And what happens at the end of the year is they come sweep that money out of Medicaid and spend it on pet projects for the most part. This is
a supplemental bill. Take me through that. So let's slow down a little bit. So they say Medicaid, we project Medicaid's going to cost, pick a number out of the air and then take me from there, Daniel.
Yeah, so just for round number sake, let's say it's, you know, we're going to say $100 billion or $100 million. Right. It's much more than that, but no, for simplification.
Make it $100 if you want, just so people can
Sure.
Yeah.
That's right. So so they project that, but they only need, if it's $100, let's say they only need 80.
Okay.
And so what happens is toward the end of the legislative session, they begin, or sometimes later after the legislative session, they realize they don't need that money, but other agencies would like to have it, or the legislature would like to use that money to fund projects in their districts, which is what's happened a lot over the last few years. So money that is, you know, they come and argue, we've got to have this money, we've got to have this money to help kids or to help people, you know, their health, ends up in district spending for the most part, not related to health care.
So it would seem to me, the cynical side of me, Daniel, would say, let's go ahead and those with political clout, let's go ahead and over budget for Medicaid because it's not going to cost that much, and on the back end, we'll be able to take this for our pet project. Am I being too cynical here? Is that the way it works?
I don't think you are. I think, you know, it has become an easy, you know, slush fund is probably too strong of a word, but it's become an easy place to cushion a little bit because the projections are so imprecise, and it becomes a place where dollars can be pulled out for other spending needs. Or wants in many of these cases. So I don't think you're being overly cynical.
So that's not happening in a vacuum, right? Somebody's got to be approving this, both parties or what?
Oh, absolutely. This is not a partisan question. This gets back to how do we actually prepare a budget? Again, we would recommend starting like many households or businesses do with zero at the beginning of the year and building a budget for the coming year. Now, there's no doubt about it. A $50 billion budget is much more complex than my much, much smaller household budget. But, you know, and so there's definitely complexity to that. I don't want to underappreciate that. What happens is we start with last year's budget and typically add to it. In this case, and kudos to the governor for starting at this place, is he's presented a budget that actually cuts some portion of money. What they did is started with last year's budget, removed any non-recurring expenses or one-time expenses, and then adjusted based on agency recommendations. In their presentation, they said very clearly they asked for agencies to look for places to streamline, look for perhaps career roles that don't need to be refilled or programs that aren't effective anymore. And so we end up with a budget that's all in all about $1 billion less than the year before.
And when it comes to putting this money into Medicaid, that should be surfaced during committee hearings, or at some point somebody should have a better handle on this, right?
Absolutely. And look, part of the challenge is, and I understand this, is if someone shows up and enrolls and qualifies for Medicaid, it doesn't matter whether the budget's there or not, they qualify. Mm-hmm. So there is a reasonable argument to at least not underestimate what the Medicaid budget will be, but we got to do a better job projecting.
Very informative, Daniel. Thank you. I appreciate your time. A lot of us don't understand how it works. You bet. Thank you, sir. Daniel Erspammer, CEO of the Pelican Institute. Interesting about how that can lend itself to shenanigans if you over-budget for Medicaid and then at the end you got money left over. Well, let's see if we can build that whatever it is in my district here and bring home a little bit of the bacon. We'll take a break and back talk to Jan Moeller, Executive Director of Invest in Louisiana, get his thoughts. Tommy Tucker making our way through a beautiful Tuesday morning. Week from now, Fat Tuesday, we'll have to see what happens with the weather. Right now, time for WWL First News.